Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
If you're not standing, would you please stand with us? We're going to read the Word of God. We've been in a series, and I think God's been doing some amazing things about this whole idea about the Holy Spirit, about what He's doing in our life, defining moments of the Holy Spirit. There are some things that are defined in your life that the Holy Spirit does every day of your life. And we're just going to go back into Acts and talk about it a little bit. I'm going to talk a little bit of history this morning. And then we're going to just get into a particular place today where we can anticipate a spiritual outbreak. That seem reasonable? Is that okay? Here we go. We're going to pick it up in Acts chapter 2, verses 40 through 47. You'll get the alternate verse, and we'll end at verse 47. This is out of the book of Acts. And with many words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common. So continually, daily, with one accord in the temple, and breaking of bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Verse 47 together. Praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Come on, let's pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, there's nothing that's really changed from that time until now. Except for us, Lord, we've got ourselves in a particular place where we believe that that stopped, that God doesn't do that anymore. But today, I just want to speak of a defining moment that you'll have today of spiritual breakthrough that's been going in a period of years and in cycles and things of nature that we are about to get a greater understanding. So I pray the Holy Spirit would just talk with us today and convince us of the very fact that He's doing a great work even now. And Lord, that in our hearts today, we will see of the outpouring of your Spirit. We'll experience your grace and your mercy within our lives. Holy Spirit, teach us today, and we'll give you all the glory, all the honor and praise. We ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus, and all God's people said, you may be seated. Well, as we continue this discussion about the Holy Spirit and His effect and on us living lives that depict His holiness, we must take time to review the impact of historically of the last two centuries and even present day interaction. You know, this last week, I don't know whether any of you watched the news or not even watched the news, but it was kind of symbolic. May the 30th, 1948 changed the culture of Portland. Anybody know what happened then? Vanport flood. He said, "Vanport, what was that?" Let me give you just a little bit of history about that. Vanport was a little small city that actually started in 1942. It was during the time of the war, and there were shipyards in the Portland area, and one particular fellow, I'll leave his name to be anonymous because there's so good and bad to be said about it. But they established a community, and Vanport was the second largest city in the state of Oregon. Oh, come on. You say, really? Now, for those of you who want to know what the ethnicity of Oregon was then, there were less than 2,000 black people in the entire state of Oregon. Vanport, for those of you who don't know about that particular city, it grew. They built the whole city in less than 3 months. There were more than 15,000 people that lived there, and it was the worst housing situation there ever was, but it still existed. About 4:30 in the afternoon on the 30th of May, the dam broke, and the dike consumed that whole thing. You say, well, that was just a horrible thing. I don't want to get to the historical part about it, but there's a reason why it happened beyond what the news says. Vanport was hell on earth. The streets of Vanport and the things that were happening there were despicable. I'll get off the racial issue totally as far as that's concerned. God has a way that he said, well, it was because of this. No, it wasn't. When God is through with something, I want to let you know, God's done. I don't care what you build. I don't care how you build it. He can take it down. God has defining moments in our lives. And the reason why I start off with that illustration, there's a lot of things about history. We don't know why things are the way they are. I'll give you a little more points toward that through the rest of this message. But the idea behind it is history does not define what God's going to do. God defines history. And there's some things that you're finding out after the fact that God knew ahead of time. I want to ask you get into this. There's no lack of news as it relates to racial tension and media exposure that relates to addiction and mental illness and trauma and that has captured the attention of the world. But amidst all of this, the Holy Spirit is not silent, but has come upon the scene through the response of believers that will allow themselves to be used as instruments of change that will embrace the outbreak of the Spirit. So the question is, what are you going to do about it? In this time, in this day, in this city, in the things that God is calling us to do. Here's the questions for you that we'll talk about. Number one, are you looking for a spiritual awakening in your own personal life? Because that's where it starts. You know, I can tell you about history of the move in Portland, of things that were happening here, of the Jesus people movement in the 60s, of the various times when you folks didn't know about. They said, in Portland Public Schools now you can hardly carry a Bible. But I remember when the choir that I had from Maranatha Church, we went into every school, high school in Portland, and we had a concert. Huh? In Portland? Yes, in Portland. I want to let you know the Holy Spirit has an ability that he can get his way beyond the things that you think are impossible. He can do it. Number two, what is your spiritual response to the term spiritual outbreak? You say, well, it just kind of happens. Really? I believe when people pray, I believe when people believe for that which you think is impossible, God can do great things. Number three, does the decadence of society unduly hinder your faith to believe for personal and corporate revival? In other words, have you given up before you even got started? Well, the promise of the word of God is accurate and reliable. Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 32. Let's look at this for a moment. And it shall come to pass afterward, and that's a good word, afterward. After you've gone through some stuff, after you've endured the things you thought would never break down, he says, it shall come to back afterwards, the Lord says this, that I will pour out my spirit on how, who? What does all mean? Why don't you point to yourself like this? All means me. All flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions, and also men servants, and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days. Move on to the next couple of verses here. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. Let me stop for a moment here. What's going on over in Hawaii? Only the reason I bring that up is say what you want, but you can't stop it. Say whatever you want, but that volcano is taking over. Doesn't care where your house is, doesn't care where your golf club is. When it blows up, it's going out of the way. I want to let you know God's about to do something. He doesn't care what you put up. He's going to take it down. Because we somehow think we've got control. We have control over zero. Well, let's see here. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And then verse 32, if you bring that up for me, please, is the last one. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion, in Jerusalem, there shall be deliverance, as the Lord said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. That would be me. That would be you. Well, the Holy Spirit lives in the now of the Word of God. I don't know what you're thinking about last week, but I want you to bring you to the now of this morning of what God wants to say to you and wants to say to us. Consider this for a fact. Whether it is mentioned in Joel or in Acts, the truth of God's word is the same. And the thing that gets us off track is we have a time frame that does not coincide with God's. Is that right? And our time frame gets a little bit off. We have these little outbursts of things that happen. We have the revival that happened in Azusa. Matter of fact, my grandfather was part of that. What happened to the turn of the century in the 1900s, 1908. But the thing about it is, the same thing that happened then works over to the now of today. It hasn't stopped. Now, you may take a pause, you may take a break, but God is in the now right today. That which was prophesied by Joel was confirmed by Peter in the book of Acts, obviously. And the spiritual outbreak occurs when believers are obedient to the call of their assignment by the Holy Spirit. I need to tell you, every day of your life is now. There are things that God has for you to accomplish today, in the now of today, that if you wait too late, it will never be accomplished. Huh? Are you living in the now, or are you living into something in the future? But God wants to bring you to the now, because God wants to do it today. The day you hear my voice, the Bible says, don't harden your heart. Well, along with that comes this particular part. I think it's very, very important. We must give heed to the instructions given to us as a result of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Now, salvation for this present generation is a matter of us choosing to respond to the refuge available through our obedience. How many of you believe there's an opioid crisis in the United States? I should say, how many of you don't believe it? What are you doing about it? I watch the news every night. You say, well, I pray about it, usually we get involved in prayer when it affects somebody that we know. But there's something about it when the Bible says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, what was going to happen? The Spirit of the Lord is going to raise up a standard against him. And I need to bring you into the present of the now of what your responsibility is in accordance to the things that are happening in our culture today. Well, salvation and deliverance will come immediately to those who will heed the word of the Lord. But they cannot, how can they hear without a preacher? Say, well, I'm not a preacher. Yes, you are. When the word of God resides within you, you don't need to go through Bible school, but you need to go through Holy Spirit school. And he wants to speak through you today. Oh, it gets a little bit deeper than that. Teaching and preaching of the word of God is essential for the growth and life in the spirit. So living in the accountability is essential for Christian growth. When it talked about the first church, they said, you know, they continued steadfastly in prayer, you know, and Bible study and, you know, having, you know, potlucks. Now, potlucks are good. Jesus made up the potluck. Yes, he did. Went to house. Some of y'all can throw down, and I'm waiting for the invitation. No, but I want to tell you, that was the foundation of the church. It was kind of like the drawing card, but once they got there, it became, after more than just food for their bodies, it was food for their souls. There's something that happens when the body comes together, and we corporately are of one accord. God does something miraculous. And some of you will be a recipient of that before you leave this building today. Well, what does that mean? Here's what it means. When we live in accountability, when we are part of this, what the Spirit is doing on the earth, we are either working with the Lord or we're working against him. Jesus said this, he who is not with me is against me. He who is not gathering with me is scattering abroad. It means either you are with Jesus or you're against him. Well, you know, I'm in a state of Jesus-like. I really have an affinity toward Jesus. I really love some of the things he does. He was really a cool guy. You're nuts. He's the Lord of all. And he's the one who should capture your heart. And so that being the case, the foundation of the church was they came together and Jesus was preeminent in all these different things. Well, our outbreak will occur when we are willing to endure the criticism because of our obedience to the Holy Spirit. And some of you are so sensitive. I just can't take it. They're just so anti-Christian. I don't even need to tell you when I'm a Christian yet. Maybe you aren't. Because there's a testimony within you, you really can't keep it to yourself. I told you years ago, and I need to repeat it for those of you who are newcomers, God does not have undercover Christians or undercover agents. CIA, Christians, and anonymity, no. Holy Spirit will grant us divine protection from the plots of the many enemy, if that's the case. A couple other things before we move on to this little outbreak situation. Holiness is the ultimate discovery of the beauty of God revealed in the midst of the darkness of the world. Somebody say amen. Amen. See, we talked about holiness last week and gave you some definitions, and we're going to have our little declaration for this week. But here's the deal. Holiness is the beauty of God revealed in the midst of darkness. Jesus says, you are the light of the world, a city that sets upon a hill that cannot be hid. Every place you go, the light goes with you. It exposes the darkness. And the, you know, let's put it practical. When you turn the light on, the darkness leaves. You don't hear any squealing. I'm not leaving here. You go away. There's no wrestling match. The darkness flees. That's the reason why he called you the light of the world. That wherever you go, the darkness is subject to the presence of the light. That's pretty amazing. And it will get more intensified in this in just a moment. Well, abiding in his presence will give us the confidence to believe for what for that which would be thought of to be impossible. I think the word impossible is, I don't know who made it up. But it was definitely the idea of someone trying to do something without the presence of God, with God being involved, and so it became impossible. Because the Lord says, when he's in you, all things are possible to those who believe. And I'm talking about the things that glorify God in that particular realm. Here's the issue. A true representative of the Holy Spirit is attractive and convicting to all who see him in us. Two things. Do you know that there's something attractive about you when you're walking in the power of the Holy Spirit? I thought people hated me. No, it's really something attractive. Now, let me fix this for some of you folks that are just, that are basically obnoxious by choice. You need a makeover. You need the Holy Spirit to take over, because honey, I don't know. I know he saved you. I know that much. But when I say attractive, I mean, there's something, it's not because of you, it's because of him. And the thing about it is, here's a word that we don't use very often. And sometimes some of you who interpret the fact that you're being picked on or people are coming against you, oftentimes I want to tell you the reason why people are that way is called conviction. Because you're living a life that they wish they could live, but they don't want to surrender to the Holy Spirit, but they'll never be able to until they do. So don't ever be ashamed or embarrassed over the life that you have through the power of Jesus. And that's an amazing thing. Well, the Holy Spirit is in me for my sake, but he's upon me for your sake. The Holy Spirit lives in you for your sake, but he's upon me for the sake of the world. That they can see outwardly what's upon me, but he's in me to keep me on the right track to do the things he's called me to do. Here's a couple of things I think will be helpful for you. First thing on that category is, he starts his work on the inside of those who will allow him, listen to this, complete access. Ever been to a place where it says on the door, it says limited access, employees only? Seen that before? The Holy Spirit wants complete access to every part of you. And there are those of us, or some of us sitting in this room, when I say us, because if I was to say I'm that way all the time, that would not be truthful. There are times when I'm I have to really rely upon the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit says, give that up. I'm thinking, but now. And I'll surrender to God. So to say I live in the operation of complete surrender all the time is not true. But the Holy Spirit, the convictor, not the person, the condemner, will say, if you just yield this to me and trust me, things are going to be different. I want to tell you, those of you that struggle with certain areas of your life, and you're saying, oh, I don't think I'll ever get over that. And you know something? You're absolutely correct. You never will until you surrender. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope to overcome those things that have beset you all during the days of your life. Well, that which does not move us will not move the Spirit. Let me define that word for you. I read this in a book, and I before I even wrote it down, I said, There's a part of us that is linked with the compassion of Jesus. And some people say, you know, it's like poverty. It's like people that you see on the streets that are homeless. If you do not allow yourself to get in touch with compassion, you'll never see the breakthrough of the Spirit that God wants to do. Now, let me just bring you to a simple example. Jesus was working a miracle. We all know this. He's healing people, and people are getting saved and this type of thing, or they're getting their needs met. And then all of a sudden, they realize it's the end of the day, and it's time, you know, these people have been there all day long, listening to Jesus teach. And so he says, they need food. And Jesus, being moved with compassion, and they say, well, send them away, it's not our problem. But the Bible said Jesus, being moved with compassion. I wonder when was the last time you were moved with compassion for someone who was really in need, rather than the fact that, oh, those poor, suffering people. Compassion is something that is given to you by the Spirit of God, and when he gives it to you, he intends for you to act upon it to make a difference in this world. Compassion requires several things. First of all, it requires sacrifice of you taking note. And secondly, it may require for you to surrender some of the resources that you have that you were designated for you. In other words, it will rebuke stinginess out of you. I got to give my testimony. We say, good night to God, Pastor, Saints, and Friends. I'm glad to be here today in the power of God. That's how we used to testify in our church. I'm saved, sanctified, no evil have I done. That was our introduction. Well, my testimony is this, that God wants us to be able to be moved with compassion and to always be willing to give our best. Compassion doesn't go halfway. It goes a total distance. Well, that which does not move us, the Spirit won't get involved with it. And the beauty of the Holy Spirit is living totally for the Lord. Now, let's get to the action part of our message in the next few minutes, the next 10 minutes. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. Divine encounters in our daily life are orchestrated by the Spirit of God. How many of you believe that? The rest of you will be convinced in a few moments. You poor heathen. No. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, about the ninth hour, and a certain man was lame from his mother's womb, was carried there, whom he laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with Peter and John, Peter said three words, look at us. I want you to turn somebody and look them right in the eye and tell them this. Look at me. Now, if somebody asks you why, let me know. When's the last time you told somebody to look at me? He said, I don't want nobody looking at me. Don't be looking at me. Look at her. Look at him. Don't be looking at me. There's a new confidence if you want to have breakthrough that's going to take the shame and the embarrassment away from you, that you'll be able to say with the power of the Holy Spirit, there is something in me that you want to have. But say, well, there isn't really at this point. That's why you're here. That's why we're having this conversation. He said, look at us. And here's the part that tells you. So he gave his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. You know something? You spend too much time telling folks what you don't have. Well, I'd like to help you, but, you know, I'm just running a little short on this particular thing. I've got to really make it to another appointment, so I'm sorry. I'll get with you another time. Is that okay? You're wicked. Don't even bother. Because the part that really grabs me, so he gave them his attention. What's that word said? Expecting to receive? Do you know that the world is expecting to receive something from you as you're claiming to be a believer? Now here's the other part of it. What do you have to offer? I can answer the question for you. Jesus. There's no greater thing you can offer them than Jesus. Well, here we go. The Holy Spirit desires to invade our lives in our everyday lives. And every day of our life has miracle potential. That means this. We must allow the Holy Spirit access to what we would deem as normal and routine events. I had something happen on I guess it was Wednesday. Friend of mine, we were going to meet to go out to lunch and this type of thing. I met at the restaurant and texted me. He says, I'm running a little bit late. And when he finally got there, he says, well, my daughter just had an accident. She rear-ended somebody and blah, blah, blah. And he was just kind of flustered, the whole situation. Now, this is a guy that I work out with at the athletic club I go to. And he's not professing to be a believer. And he shows it. When I say he shows it, I mean everything about his lifestyle and this type of thing, which I'm not judging him. He's not professing to be a believer. But he looks at me across the table. He says, can we pray right now? I about fell out. And he reaches his hands forward saying, grab my hands. In the middle of the restaurant. Oh, honey, I was home base right there. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I prayed for him. I prayed for his daughter. I prayed for his future. I prayed for his salvation. And I did it all in the name of Jesus. I want to tell you, if you're willing, if you're available, God will open up opportunities from people you never, ever thought wanted to have any interest in Jesus. And then, after this thing happened, we talked for a little while, I get a text message from him. He says, I don't really understand, but ever since we prayed, there's a peace that's come over my life. Something new. Folks, you don't know what God's going to do until you are ready, willing, and available to do whatever God asks you to do. Because see, some of you, if that happened, you say, can we find someplace private where nobody sees what we're doing over here? I can see, can I meet you out back on the patio? You half-baked Pharisee. Oh. We must desire the Lord more than anything else in order to witness supernatural outbreak. Matthew 6:21. I'm just about there. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Here's a question for you. Where's your treasure? In my 401k. I rode in it to church today. know, I'm talking about where's your treasure? I want to evaluate your value system in the next few moments, and we'll be done with this. We will engage with the things that are truly important to us. You want to have breakthrough? If it's important to you, that's what you'll be praying for. But unfortunately, some of us are riding on the coattails or upon the blessings or upon the spirituality of other people that we're around. And that needs to change. Furthermore, our commitment to worship will be fundamental anchor to our daily life. Every day we operate in the realm of the Spirit's influence over what we would seem to be ordinary circumstances. Ordinary can become supernatural if we're willing to do what God calls us to do. Well, let's finish our little story. I got halfway through the scripture there, and we got him anyway. He looked at us. Can you put it back up there? I'm sorry. You thought I was done. So did I. Okay. You're good. Okay. So they said, in the name of Jesus Christ, and this is what happened. So he, leaving up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. That place right there should really catch hold of you. Good to see Arno. This man had been lame from the time he was born. And I think I'm on good ground to speculate that there's a good possibility he had never been in the temple. He'd been in the outside. And maybe been coached, maybe been trained. It says that people have compassion to go to the temple. And this is how you're going to survive, because this is your lot in life. You're going to be a lame person. But something happened that day when Peter made the declaration, silver and gold, I don't have any. But what I do have, I'm going to give to you. Folks, each and every one of you that knows Jesus have what every person in this world needs. If you know Jesus. And so this the idea, he says, walking, leaping, praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he who sat begging at the throne of the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Do you know something? You are this close to a miracle if you start acting upon the things God tells you to do. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? What a glorious, fabulous opportunity. We operate in the realm of the Spirit. People are watching us because of the light of Jesus in us. Some people will boldly ask for our assistance, and we are called as messengers of hope to make things different for folks. I got one more scripture here. We should not be afraid or timid to call attention to the power of the Holy Spirit that is alive in us. Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. This is great. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Matter of fact, I need you to read this with me. Read this with me. Okay, here we go. The Spirit
of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the
Jesus read it, but it was a declaration that he's put the mantle upon you. Because I dare say, those of you who are filled with the Spirit of the Lord is upon you because he has anointed you to do all the things it says of you. My goodness, to preach the gospel to the poor. I'm not just talking about people that are broke. The worst poverty there is in this world is to have the riches of this world and not have Jesus. You are sure enough broke. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Any brokenhearted, broke up people around, you've seen lately? And God is giving you the ability and the challenge to put forth healing toward them. But this is the part I love the best. To proclaim liberty to those who are captive and the recovery of sight to the blind. and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. I won't ask for this hand to be raised, but I know they're here today. There are those of you who suffer under massive, maybe not depression, but oppression. It's like this cloud that follows you everywhere. And when you want to reach out in faith to say that things are going to be different, that oppression says you'll never make it. You're just destined to be this way. He has the power to heal, the power to deliver, the power to resurrect things and people from the dead. Well, the Holy Spirit will cause wonder and amazement to capture the hearts of those who witness his power on display. This is what I want to tell you. We may not have what people want, but we have what they need. That's what Peter said. He says, silver and gold I don't have for you, but what I have, I'll give to you. In the name of Jesus. And you know, I have to say to you, when I say the name of Jesus, there's something behind it, this other spirit. There's, when I say in the name of Jesus, I expect something to change. I expect the atmosphere to change. I expect demons to flee. I expect sickness to go. I expect poverty to be... in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. We must boldly declare the word of deliverance over the lives of those who needed deliverance. And finally, when we speak the name of Jesus over their circumstances, they can be healed and will be able to come and worship with us and no longer have to live outside begging. That last little phrase I said to you is the most important thing I hope you'll take home with you. There are people that are living on the outside. We're enjoying all the pleasures of inside worshiping. We had a great time this morning. Praise God. But there are hundreds, thousands of people out there that have never experienced what you've experienced in this room. But they're broken. They can't get inside. They've been on the outside. They've been begging for you to give them the hope that Jesus will make their situation different so they can come to the inside to worship. What's the first thing he does when he gets himself together? He leaps up on his feet. He doesn't head down the street to the liquor store or to a club. He comes inside the house of God and says thank you to the only person who could deliver him and bring him into what he's always needed. Folks, when we just offer Jesus like we should, the house of God will be filled with people who want to have a relationship with him. Everybody stand to your feet. Now we're going to make our declaration for the day about the Holy Spirit. We need to declare these things. Put number one up there. Have them read it. Read that for me. Is that your confession?
Yes.
Is that your confession?
Yes.
That you're not going to sow to the flesh any longer, but you're going to sow to the Spirit. Give me number two, please. Wow. Okay, let's get to number two, then number two, and then we'll read the scripture. All right, read this quickly. Okay, before you read 24, I want you to do something. You're saying, I belong to Christ. Some of you can say that, some of you cannot. And that's okay, because it's just a few moment transition that you'll be able to say that. But here's the deal. I've crucified the flesh. It means there's a part of me that needs to die. You hear what I'm saying? Read the scripture that goes along with that, please. All right. Give me number three, and we're going to finish this thing. Read that, please. Okay, before you read the scripture, I want to tell you this is an opportunity that every person in this room has. Boy, I feel the anointing of this Holy Spirit right now. Jesus. Because what it's saying there is, I present my body daily to the Lord. Maybe you haven't done it today, but you know something? There's still time left. If you haven't done it, then there's time for you to do it today. Okay, now read that number, read the scripture says, I beseech. Okay, leave that up there for a moment. Everybody else, bow your heads. Bow your heads right now. I beseech you that you present your body a living sacrifice unto God. Beseech is a word that says, I urge you, I appoint unto you that you do it today. And notice he says reasonable service. God is not going to ask from you something you cannot do. The other part you need to know with your heads bowed, with your eyes closed, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, and your mind needs to be renewed. And I'm going to pray right now for the renewal of the minds of some people here today that have come here to turn their lives over to Jesus. Everybody stand to your feet right now. I'm about to do something, and the Holy Spirit is about to talk to some people. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Intercessors, just work with me in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You walked in this room this morning and the Holy Spirit was prompting you and saying, you know, today's going to be different. Today's going to be a change. It's going to be a shift in priorities. It's going to be a shift in the direction of where your life is going. Some of you have strayed away from Jesus. Some of you have never really turned your life over to Jesus. But I'm going to pray a prayer, and at the end of that prayer, I'm going to have you lift your hand and say, you know what, Pastor, today I'm ready. I'm ready to leave the old life. I'm ready to become one of those people that is appointed to by the power of the Spirit of God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I break off all defeat, all darkness, all oppression, all the things that have held people back from doing the will of God. Lord, I break off the very fact that people who thought they would never be worthy enough to be one of Jesus' followers because of things that they've done. I rebuke the power of intimidation of the enemy that says, you'll never make it. But for people that says, you know what, today I feel for the very first time in my life that Jesus will accept me because he's a way maker. He's a promise keeper. He's a light in the darkness. And I'm moving from the darkness into the light of Jesus. If that's you today and you need to make a change in your life, I want you to lift your hand right now. Say, I want to do that. Lift it up high where I can see it. God bless you. God bless you. Lift it up high all over this building. Lift it up high where I can see it. Lift it up high right now in Jesus' name. Leave it up there for a moment. Leave it up there. Because we're going to make some declarations and some people are going to be set free today. Leave it up there just for another moment. Somebody else needs to join. Put your hand up now. You need to join them. You need to allow Jesus to do a work in your life. Thank you, sir. Anybody else that needs to do that? There's another woman here. You had a tough night last night and the devil said you weren't going to make it, but you made it here. It's time for you to turn over to Jesus. Do it right now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. I'm calling it out right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You can put your hands down. In a moment, we're going to sing the chorus of this song. And every person that lifted their hand, I want you to make your way down to this altar and allow God to finish his work in your life. That's right. Step out right now. Step out right now in Jesus' name. Come on. Step out right now in Jesus' name. That's right. Don't wait for somebody else. You come. Don't you wait for somebody else. You come. You come right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, they're coming, folks. Yes, they are.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name. Come on.
Thank you.
You are here.
That's right. Do you need to come?
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.